flashback to a time when we were in Lindsay, Ontario, and we had some very strongly opinionated people in the congregation that didn't want to go in the same direction. And I'm trying to pray through the issue. We'd actually brought in a church covenant, and they were opposed to it. And the theme was that what we do in love. And it was actually from the covenant. We'd actually got a copy of it from the Whitby Baptist Church just south of us. And the one couple in the leadership role said, "We're not in favor of this. We've tried this love thing and it doesn't work." Yeah, and it doesn't work. And I could see the writing on the wall. And I was praying, and I wasn't getting, nothing seemed to be happening. Nothing was congealing. And I came across a tape by J. Sidlow Baxter, and he was talking about prayer. And it really became a source of encouragement. One of the things in that tape is he talked about, he'd had a similar experience where prayer wasn't just, he felt like it was going 18 inches out of his mouth and falling to the ground. And he got desperate and he started to pray through the hymn book. And that's where I got a whole new appreciation for hymns, because I began to do the same thing just because it wasn't getting through. And he was talking about the significance of prayer, the importance of prayer. The prayer achieves what we can't achieve. He said, when I was in college, there was a student there who had they'd bring chocolate around at 10 and at 2, and it was a little snack. And he says, this student always overindulged. So he made a pact with a friend of his named Will, and they get up at 5:30 and pray for victory over chocolate, because that's where the victory was won, was at 5:30, not at 10 and 2. And he goes, and he's elaborating, he says, and I know this story is true because I was that student. And I had to tell my will to get up. And my will and I prayed. And my will was strengthened at 5:30 for 10 and for 2. And that's, you know, renew, you know, transform our mind, our heart, and our will. And that's something we all need. And that leads us into Colossians chapter 3. This is the second in probably three or four messages, and this is part one of the second message. And I've just entitled it, Put on the New Self. It's not an original title. If you look at your heading on your Bible, Josh, in chapter 3, what does it say?
Put on the new self.
There you go. So it's not really plagiarism, sort of. We're going to read together the first 17 verses of Colossians chapter 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, not will. You have died. This is an important truth to get it registered in your heart. The key to victory is not overcoming the old self. The old self is dead. It's not in the process of dying. It's not will die. It has died. But if you're not putting on the new man, there's a void. And you go back to what you're familiar with, you know. I forget the name of the Christian. I was listening to a tape. He was a Christian brother, but he was also a physicist. He says the most natural tendency in all the universe is for a vacuum to fill itself. Your old self has died. Repeatedly in the New Testament, you find that reality. But John, are you living in it? And if you don't, if you're not putting on the new man, you're going back to old ways. Not the old man. The old man doesn't get resurrected. Amen? He's dead. But we can adopt the ways of the old man because we're not putting on the new self. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, this is I'm just throwing things at you. We don't have time to preach this morning in the devotional. But your life is hid with Christ. With Christ. Where? In God. That's a fundamental position for us to know and to understand. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Take that and match it with the last verse in 1 John. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Things that distract us from God become idols. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. Notice, past tense. When you were living in them, past tense, were living. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The whole idea of we need to be renewed, this is the launch point. Verse 10 takes us back to the devotional for this morning, verses 1 through 4. But we are to be renewed in knowledge, not in speculation, not in hopefulness, just natural hopefulness. There is a divine hope, but we're to be renewed in knowledge. And we get that knowledge from the Word of God. Verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Cilician, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's that second chorus that you had to sing. You know? Did you read the email? Yeah. Well, Shelly made you. I'm so proud of you, girl. So you had some idea of where we were going, so that helped pick out the songs. I was congratulating for Landon for closing him to tie it all in, and he didn't even know what the message was, and Shelly came to me and said, we changed it. I was so proud of him hearing in the Spirit, but he heard from Shelly. And there's some similarity. Bearing with one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love. Try it. Contrary to what that leader in Lindsay said, try love. It does work. Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. 17, I miss this one in my life on a regular basis. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray for the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, that this word that we have read, your word, inspired and given to us through the Holy Spirit at the will of the Father and sealed by the life and the work and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, would you bring illumination to us that we would be able to apply this devotional, these words, to our lives on a regular basis. And not just occasionally, but may it become a consistent habit in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked last week in our devotional at 2 Corinthians 4, 1-18. And there we see the fact of the new birth, that faith feeds that, and there's that feeding, and there's the function that as we enter into a labor with the Lord, we see our weaknesses and we see where we need the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I know a man, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I don't know, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be talked about. I prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed, but it wasn't. And I heard God say to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Therefore, in my weakness, I will therefore glory in my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then he is strong. When we're laboring for the Lord, when we're using the gifts that God has given us, we see our own weaknesses and our own deficiencies, and it becomes like a targeting mechanism for our soul to begin to pray that God would, in response to our call and our gifting, that he would, by his Holy Spirit, make up the weakness that we can't do. And that's so critical. And functioning in our gifts is critical. It's a gift given to you, but it's not complete. It's being added to on a regular basis by the Holy Spirit. And the more we labor in it, the more we understand our weaknesses. And when we're not doing it, there's an atrophy that begins to set in. It amazes me. Dave, I don't know if you know this to be true in your life, because we're kind of the same age, you know. But fortunately, we're incredibly good looking. And it does. You notice the one laughing the loudest is my daughter, you know. But it always amazes me. I take 2 weeks off of work. We go and have a holiday and come back. And I would testify that the crates of milk have gotten 10 pounds heavier. There's something about walking diligently before the Lord, walking in your gifting, that there's a continual flow of the strength of God given to us. Amen? When we're weak, then he's strong. And it really, it involves that. As I was preparing my thoughts and my notes for this, this devotional, I found an interesting note in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, Pastor Jack Hayford, Dr. Jack Hayford, general editor of that particular study Bible. And the note says, for Paul, demonstrating the life-changing power of the gospel is equally as important as defending it against error. That's an important statement. God will not permit error to continue. He'll remove the lampstand before he lets error continue. For Paul, demonstrating the life-changing power of the gospel is equally important as defending it against the error. The Holy Spirit wants to work in my life on a regular basis, but it's up to me. Remember the closing picture we had for the conclusion last week? The guy standing leaning against his shovel, and it says, don't pray for a hole. God's giving you a shovel. God's giving you a function. God's giving you a purpose. Use those tools that God has given and dig the hole. If you're going to pray and wait for a hole when God's asking you to do something, not going to happen. The Colossians are able to fulfill the command daily to display their identification with Christ by death to the past and their empowerment for the present by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That summarizes the thrust of this devotional this morning. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. How do I participate in that renewal? And the first four verses give us some clear instruction. The four major points are: seek the things that are above, set your minds, surrender to Jesus Christ, and then the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If then sets the condition of ability. I am the only one who can answer whether I have really accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You can't answer for me. Only I can answer that. I can't answer for you. Well, I can baptize you in water. We can do certain things. But only you can testify honestly before God whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal don't get this, Lord and Savior. That's Acts 2. This Christ whom you crucified, God has made him to be both Lord and Savior. A lot of people want a Savior. But allowing him to be Lord in my life is a whole different situation. And he needs to be both. F then. John, that's a question that you have to answer. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek literally is keep seeking. It's not a one-time event in my life. Lynn will testify to this. I was really late getting to bed Friday night, Saturday morning. I knew I was going to be doing my research on Saturday. I didn't do it on Wednesday because I was finishing off preps for the Bible study. So I was going through things in my... I do a lot of research just using various resources on my phone, you know, like Keep On Seeking. That's not my insight. That's from the Blue Letter Bible, which I have on my phone. So I'm going through these things, and it was about 2 o'clock before I went to bed. But that helps because and it's not just a matter that I got to share the devotional on Sunday morning. I need to hear God. You know? Jesus spent a lot of time staying up all night praying. And I made up for it on Saturday morning. I don't think I was out of bed until 9:30, 9:45 or something. But I had deposited things in my mind and my soul that were churning. And it helped me in the morning. Keep on seeking. Not just a one-time thing. It's John, this needs to be a matter of a lifestyle that you keep seeking the things of God. Zateo is the Greek word. It means to seek in order to find. Have you ever lost something, misplaced something? You know, and you look hard? Some of you I know is wear glasses. If I don't put my glasses in the same place every night, I can't find them the next morning. And without my glasses, I can't find them. You know, so it's a pure defense mechanism. I learned to put, and these are a little easier to find because the temples on them are a little larger. But my work glasses, they're just a wire frame, and they're harder to distinguish. You know, and there's things you need to find. You know, someone forgot something in the car this morning, and they had to go out and find it, bring it back in. To find, to seek a thing, to seek, in brackets, in order to find out by thinking. There's things of God I need to discover, and I can only discover them here. It means I got to get into this, you know. Meditating, reasoning, to inquire into. See, to seek after, seek for, aim at. Strive after. Somebody this morning was showing pictures of a friend who had managed to shoot a deer, you know. And you got to aim at it. Hello? You know? One of my favorite cartoons is still where Charlie Brown's shooting arrows into the fence and Lucy's watching him. And he's got the arrows in the fence and he goes over with his paintbrush and his can of paint and he paints the bullseye. And she says, that's not the right way to do it. You paint the bullseye first. And he says, yeah, but this way I don't miss. And sometimes my life can be like that, where I'm just shooting arrows, and then I'm pretending that's the bullseye. And I'm not on track, amen? You know? And the conversation went on. You know, they were listening to hunters. There's one shot. And then there was a second shot. And then a third. What did you say? There were 6 altogether? Yeah, that deer's gone. They didn't aim well. They missed the mark, you know? And listen, we can be like that in our life if we're honest, that we're not aiming at the things of God and we're just shooting at random, you know? To seek, i.e., require. I found this one interesting, this definition. This is out of the Blue Letter Bible. To demand. It's hard to imagine us going to God and saying, God, I demand that you show me what you want. But as you get into the Word of God, you discover He wants to show you. You've got to make it an urgent plea. You've got to come to that place where you say, I need to know this. God, open my heart. Open, you know, give me eyes that I might see. Give me a mind that responds. Give me a will that is obedient to your will. To crave. Madison, there's a piece missing out of your cake. And I didn't take it. But I looked at that cake. Oh, chocolate. Yummy. It looks so good. My point is, I'm starting to drool. I'm craving. You know? Do I crave after the things of God the way I will be after that piece of chocolate cake? Not that there's anything wrong with yours that you brought, Justin. But I looked at that chocolate one, and the saliva, you know, Pavlov's dog was working. It was just, you know, right away. I tell you. You know, careful now. I might leave the pulpit and come back with a piece of cake, and just that way I'll build your craving too. You see, yeah. To demand something from someone, to God, I need to know this. I need to understand this. I remember I was trying in Bible college, and we were married, and Lynn was at work at Regina General Emerge, and it was after class, and I was trying to understand the triune God, and I was down on my knees praying, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I fell asleep while I was praying. I couldn't get up. My feet and legs were asleep, so I had to kind of roll over and stretch out. And after, you know, I thought, okay, now things are starting to move, and I went to get a drink of water, and as soon as I turned on the tap, there it was. Worked for me. Didn't work for you, perhaps, I don't know. But the triune God was right there, was explained to me. Water is always H2O. It's always H2O. But sometimes I see it as a liquid, water. Sometimes I see it as ice. And if you get too close when the kettle's boiling and you come in the wrong way, the steam will burn you. And I thought, okay, one, but three manifestations. And for me, that answered the complexity and the confusion surrounding the Godhead. God is always G-O-D. But I understand the role of the Father. I understand the role of the Son. And I understand the Holy Spirit. So my prayer was answered in kind of a weird sort of way. But I was really travailing over this. It wasn't anything to do with the assignment for college. It was just what was being presented. And it didn't make sense to me initially. I had the following... In not italics, script, because this is my statement. I like the image created by point two. My seeking is not to be passive or casual. Am I demanding? Am I craving? Am I really putting energy and focus into it? You know, to. If I'm passive about my seeking, I'm not really seeking. Hello? Yeah. And then go back to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, Psalm 20, 27. This is one of my favorite portions. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Okay. 27. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek. It's one thing. Seeking. You know? I will seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is not a passive statement. This is filled with activity and energy and focus and power. For He will hide me in His shelter. In the day of trouble, He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Am I really entering that way? And I think in your notes, I pick up at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I find when fear enters in, I'm not doing the one thing in verse 4. You know? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, I will be confident. One thing I have desired, and that I will seek after. John, does that really describe you? You know, and then verse 8. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. John, are you doing that? No. Hebrews 10:3. No, not that's Romans 10:3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they do not submit to God's righteousness. When he says, seek those things which are above, not those things that are below. Am I trusting God? You know, you're talking about his will is that we be holy. That was one of the songs. I can't do it on my own. He's one. If I'm seeking to do it on my own, I'm missing the whole thing. I'm seeking the wrong thing. That's human religion. I need to invite the fullness of Christ in me. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things I try to do just in the flesh. And if you're gifted to any degree, or if you've got through habitual doing things, you've developed an ability at it, it's easy sometimes just to do it in the natural. Hello? You know, and then the Spirit's nowhere to be found. We can get good at things in the natural. Repetition is the mother of skill. But I need the Holy Spirit. You know? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not casually or occasionally, but diligently seek him. Digitally, yeah, I'm using my phone a lot. Smart Alex. John 5:30. I can do nothing. This is the words of Jesus. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And that's the words of Jesus. And Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So I need to be one who's seeking to hear and to see what God is saying and what God is doing, and allow that to conform my will, not, you know, trying to get God to, you know, here's what I want to do, God, bless it. Not, God doesn't work that way. You know, I need to hear what he's saying. My earthly, now this is, what script? You know, like, you know, when you go to the toolbar, it's got I, what does that stand for? Is that italics? I thought italics was in brackets. Okay. This is my statement, okay? You take it for what it's worth. My earthly challenges and trials can never be resolved by human effort or by the resources of this world. I am a spiritual being who seeks spiritual insight, direction, and resources. I need to be seeking God, okay? Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Cheryl may not remember this, but we were at a much younger age. You were teaching her how to set the table, you know, and you know, where the fork and the knife go and all those things. It's a deliberate putting down, deliberate positioning. You know? We need to set things. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Now, we're not just talking about fanciful things in the spirit realm, you know, what heaven's going to be like. You know, we're talking about the available power of the Holy Spirit in your life right now, not looking to the things of the world, hoping that will meet the deal. Now, are we supposed to be responsible? You know, I mean, for a long time, what little amount of retirement fund I had in with one company, and I was getting nothing out of it. In fact, one year I actually lost money, you know. And then friends of ours, I won't mention the Berries by name. That's an ad, so I expect a return. You know? And 2 years with them, my return, I couldn't believe it. God wants us to be responsible. But ultimately, if I'm trusting in that, I have a misplaced trust. You know, keep doing a good job. But, you know, we need to be people that are trusting the things that are above, not the things of the earth. Amen? You know? We walk by sight, and we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. I saw a thing months and months ago, you know, that this comedy thing out of Montreal, and they look for people's reaction. They got this guy driving down the street, and he's got his white cane hanging out the door, and he's tapping as he's driving. and he's, you know, yeah, and sometimes in my life, forget about walking by faith and not by sight. I mean, sometimes I'm just blind, you know. And then God gives you a little tap in the back of the head and wakes you up. And you know, there's a deliberate setting that must take place, John, in your life. Give room for the Holy Spirit. Give room for the Word of God. Set your mind on things that are above. Set, here's the Greek word. To exercise the mind. To entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion. Let God set your opinions. Not you set an opinion and then try to see if God will support it somewhere. By implication, to be mentally disposed, more or less earnestly in a certain direction. Intensively, to interest oneself in with concern or obedience, to set affection on. I need to predispose myself to a vulnerability to the Word of God and to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. There are certain things that won't work I won't do by myself once they reach a certain place. We have two types of pallets that come in. One's got steel plating on it. Well, it's not steel. It's metal of some type. I think it's aluminum. But they're about 15, 20 pounds heavier than the other pallets. Those I can handle. Once it gets up to this high, I'm not doing it alone. If I can't tip the pallet onto the edge and lift it from there like a fulcrum and then slide it, otherwise, I'm calling for Aiden or somebody and saying, okay, you take, you know, we'll get her up. Especially when, because they're heavy. You know, my wife keeps saying, you know, under compensation, you're not allowed to lift a certain amount of weight over a certain height. There are things in my life I can't lift on my own. You can't lift them on your own. I might be able to get by if Josh comes and gives me a hand. But then it's just works of the flesh. I need the Holy Spirit, and I need to set my mind towards, I need to predispose myself to recognizing I've got the shovel. I'm not praying for the hole. But, you know, every now and then, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and assist. Amen? Are you with me? You know, set your mind. Be predisposed to the fact that God wants to come in a dynamic way. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit's with you. But folks, there's times I need the Holy Spirit upon me. A refreshing, a renewing. I need to come to that place where I recognize the Holy Spirit's there, but I haven't been paying attention to Him. You know? Is that making sense? Okay. Matthew 16:23. But he turned it. This is painful. Because it describes my life on many occasions. But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind on the things, not on the things of God, but on the things of man." That's easy for any of us to do at any time. And the reason this is so painful is just a few verses earlier, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some even say that you're John the Baptist, because by that time he'd been beheaded. And he says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter speaks up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, You have spoken well. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then just a few verses later, he says, Jesus, I got to go and be put to death. And he says, never let that happen. And he says, who are you kidding? He says, this has got to happen. He says, you're looking at the natural, not at the spiritual. You're talking like Satan. Get behind me. You go from this is a revelation from God to you to now you're listening to the devil. That quickly. You know? The valley is the place to live. Every once in a while I've had mountaintop experiences. Then I find myself not in the valley, but in the pit. You know, the pit's not a good, I'm reading through Jeremiah right now. At one point he was arrested and he was thrown into a pit, a cistern. And it was mud at the bottom. How deep it was, I don't know, but they had to rescue him. You ever, that's a psalm, isn't it? He lifted me out of the mud and mire and he set my feet on the solid rock to stay. I often find myself in that kind of a situation where I'm in a pit of despair. And the sad part is most of the time it's a pit of my own digging. And then we go to Matthew 16:23. And I've got ESV and King James Version. Just slightly different wording. Should use both hands. No, that one we already. I want 1 Corinthians. Does somebody happen to have the King James Version with them? Tim's going to turn. I got my phone out, but I have trouble doing two things at once. 3:1-4. But brothers, I do not want to address you as could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still in the flesh. There's one translation that says the old nature. That listeners, that Adam in you is dead. Somebody say amen. But you're still in the flesh. They're not synonymous terms. Adam was lost in sin. You've been born again. You're in Christ. Your life is hid in with Christ in God. But you're still in the flesh. You are still in the flesh, for while there is a jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? When one says, I follow Paul, another Apollos, are you not being merely human? Another word for flesh. Tim, have you got that? King James? One through four. Now, hear that word, carnal. In the newer translations, it's translated either old nature or human or flesh. Well, I want to declare to you, it's not the old nature. Adam in you is dead. Okay, read 1 Corinthians, Colossians again. It's dead. Okay, continue.
Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are the yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another one, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? In the authorized King James Version.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's really easy for me to be carnal. To just walk as a mere man. I have to set my mind on the spiritual things. Romans 8:1-6 talks about that. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, carnality, but walk according to the Spirit. Okay, and then the rest elaborates that. It's a deliberate setting. Okay, Lynn was setting up for the kids this morning for the coloring, and she was sharpening the pencils. It's a deliberate setting. It's a deliberate preparing. John, you need to do that. Major point number three. Surrender to Jesus. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the reality that we have. But am I walking in it? Am I experiencing it? Okay? Romans 6, 1 to 6. I'm going to ask you to turn here, and we're not going to get to the last point. I got to stay true to John 12, 15. I read it. This guy's brilliant. He comes up with things that, you know, it's just, you know, whether we started 20 minutes later or not, you get 12, 15. Okay, we're going to read through this. I'm going to make a couple of comments. The concluding point is that there's a second coming. Jesus is coming. Okay? And one of the first things we do at the coming of Christ is we go to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give account of what we've done in the flesh. And that is, have you set your mind? Have you set your heart? Has your will been to follow my will? Now, I want you to look at this portion, surrender to Jesus Christ. What shall we say then? The problem in Romans 5, for by one man death entered, and that man was Adam, and all have sinned, and now through one man, Jesus Christ, new life has come, for where sin did increase, grace did increase. So they came up with this conclusion. Oh, if that was in the beginning, the more we sin, the more grace we get. Wrong! No, that's foolishness. You know? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? I still like the old King James, the authorized version. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? The ESV, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? That's the reality in your life. Colossians teaches that. It's that portion we read, 1 through 4. Your life, you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I need to embrace that. That's a truth. I'm to be renewed by knowledge. That teaches me something. Am I living in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now, Sean, that's not talking about what I did to you with water. It's a symbol. We laid you in the water, and thank God we lifted you out. I've often been tempted. It's a humor in me. I know, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why I don't say that one. But I put people under. I'm often tempted to yell, how long can you hold your breath? But I've never done that yet. It's a symbol of, you see, you're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit. That baptism is what puts you in the body of Christ, and it's that baptism that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, free or slave. So that's not the water baptism I do. I'm the agent. Water is the substance. But that the agent, the Holy Spirit, baptizes you into the body of Christ. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. The Holy Spirit does that. Okay? He says, listen, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too walk in newness of life. Water baptism is a symbol, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He immerses, you know, and we were pastoring one church, and they wanted to know why I wanted to do immersion rather than pouring or sprinkling, which was their normal mode. And I explained to them the picture. They said, okay, well, that makes sense. Well, let's do that. So I had one that wanted to be done by pouring because they were modest and they knew they'd come out wet and clothes clean, you know. So, listen, the amount of water doesn't matter. If Christ is in you, you're saved. And if Christ isn't in you, I can use gallons of water. Doesn't change it. Okay? Hello? You can sprinkle or you can pour. I like the picture of immersion. Here's why. Because you're laid into the grave as Christ was. And as Christ was raised, you're raised in newness of life. Okay, it's a symbol. It's a picture. And it helps me to move ahead in that way. Walk in newness of life. You remember when you first walked out of the lake? You were wet. And you walk a little differently because everything's clinging. You know? We're to walk differently. There was a message I preached years and years ago. Remember Jacob? He has an encounter with the angel, and they wrestle all night. You know, he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. You know, some blessing. Change your name from Jacob to Israel. But, you know, and God's given you a new name. Read it in Revelation. You have a new name. Jesus has a name that we don't even identify yet. It's written upon his thigh. You know, and it's related to holiness in God. But remember what happened to Jacob wrestling with God? He dislocated his hip. Your son, inch different. He walks differently. When you have an encounter with God, you walk differently. Okay? You have to work at walking like the world. That's why you're supposed to seek and set. For if you've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. You today, not someday, not when the trumpet sounds or when the grave calls. Right now, your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You need to set that, and surrender to that. Because he's coming again. You know? We know, not guess. We're being renewed, how? By knowledge. You need to know this. We know that our old self was crucified. Listen, the Adamic nature in you is dead. If I'm struggling with something, it's in the flesh, and I'm walking like the natural man does. I'm being carnal. And listen, my carnal strength won't give me victory. You know? At 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, the chocolate comes. So I get up at 5:30, and I get my friend Will, and we pray, and we get victory at 5:30, so that when 10 and 2 come, the chocolate's not victorious. That's a powerful picture in my mind. I'm still going to have a piece of that chocolate cake. We know that the old self was crucified with him, with Jesus Christ, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Listen, if you're struggling with something, you need to be speaking the word of God to yourself. This natural tendency has no power over me. Now I need to decide who I'm going to yield to. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I need to be hearing and seeing what God is doing and saying and walking in that. So that we are no longer, what does your Bible say? Slaves or enslaved to. As I seek, and as I set, I am empowered to surrender. I am no longer enslaved to sin. I am a new man. Do I, on more occasions than I want to admit, yield to natural tendencies? Yes, I do. But if you say you sin not, you lie, and the truth is not in you. But if you will confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us with the continual washing of his blood and the water of the word. Amen? I'm to be renewed daily because daily I blow it. I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the fact. Daily I blow it. And there's things I need to take to Jesus. You know? He's coming again. We'll do a series sometime in the near future on the Bema Seat of Christ. We will be judged for what we do in the flesh. But that's got nothing to do with salvation. It's got everything to do with rewards. Amen? Josh, I want you to come and do the closing and pray.